Well, turning your Bibles to John chapter 3. That's where we'll start, John chapter 3. It's a very famous verse that we're going to look at. We're going to think about Christmas. It's that time of the year, and it's almost here. It's just several days away, and we get to celebrate the birth of our Messiah and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is God who so loved the world that He gave His Son. And the truth of Christmas is the birth of our Savior. God sent His Son to be the sacrifice and the substitute to become a human being. And the baby born in Bethlehem was indeed the Savior of the world. As we think about the Christmas season, as we enjoy the Christmas season, we remember that God loved each one of us so much that He sent His Son. The one born in Bethlehem is indeed the Savior of the world. And this morning, I like to think of it as we look at the passage in which we'll see the Savior comes into the world. Well, it's my favorite time of the year. I mean, I love the summer. I don't like the cold, but I love Christmas. I have such great memories of my years at home, not only growing up, but my years here with my own family, and then the special times that we have with the church family as we all come together. It's a great time of fun and food and friendship and lights and decorations and songs. It all comes together to be the special time of the year. But we've gathered this morning as those who belong to Jesus Christ, those who have trusted in Him as Savior. This time of the year, we focus on the birth of Christ, the birth of the Savior, as we say, the Savior who comes into the world. I want you to look at the most famous verse of all. We've got it on the screen for you back here. It's John 3:16. It's also in the Scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. What a special message. This verse tells us a lot about our God and about our Savior. First of all, it is God who loved the world. He so loved the world. That's us. The whole fallen world system, every human being, He loved that much that He sent His Son, that He gave His only begotten Son. And we know that's Jesus. That's Jesus becoming a human being, leaving the glories of heaven to become a person, to die on the cross and pay for our sins. He would be the one who would be the sacrifice and the substitute. And it goes on to say that whoever, any human being, any person would believe in Him, would trust in Him, would not perish, but have everlasting life. Any human being who puts their faith in Jesus Christ is saved and saved forever, has everlasting life. And the great truth of this wonderful season is that the baby born in Bethlehem is not just a little baby and not just a cute story, but it is the one given by the Father. The Son, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Why did the Son have to become a person? So He could die for us. So He could be the Savior. This morning, we look forward to Christmas. It's just a few days away. We want to think about the flow of the Christmas story. And I've got four areas we're going to look at this morning. First of all, we're going to get a little background. We're going to go back to the Old Testament. We're going to look at some promises and some prophecies. I'm going to go quickly through some promises, but we'll actually go look at a couple of the prophecies just so you can see how they fit. That's the background. Then we're going to see the announcement to Mary and Joseph. These are famous stories. We've known them. Most of us know them since we were little children. The announcement to Mary and Joseph. And then we're going to see the birth of Jesus Christ, which is so fantastic. And then last but not least, we're going to talk about the purpose. Why did all this happen? Why would God do this? And it is so fantastic. Well, let's get some background. Let's start with this. And the background, we're going to see two things. Basically the promises of God and the prophecies. We'll start with some promises. God made some promises. I don't want you to turn there, but if you go all the way back to the beginning, to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, if you go back there, there was a promise because man sinned and man moved away from God and God came looking for man. And God saw Adam and Eve, and He made a promise to them. He said, the seed of woman will crush the head of the serpent. All the way back, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, is God's first promise in the Scripture that He's going to send a Savior, a Messiah, a Redeemer, one who would pay for sin, one who would deal with the sin of mankind. So powerful. Then we move a little bit further on. We get to Genesis chapter 12. And then God talks to Abram. And, of course, we know him by Abraham. He talked to Abraham, and he said, Abraham, in you, you're going to have a son. You're going to have a greater son. One of your descendants, Abraham, will be the Messiah and the King, the Savior. And in you, Abraham, because you're sending, this son will come. In you, Abraham, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Every human being is going to be blessed through Abraham because the Messiah is going to come through him. Well, then a little more time passed. And God came to David, the man that we love, David and Goliath, the great King David. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 17. He said to David that there would be David's greater son who would sit on the throne of Israel forever. Now, David had a son that he knew was going to sit on the throne after him, and that was Solomon. But he knew that Solomon couldn't sit on the throne forever because Solomon's a regular old person. He's going to die. But there was a promise to David that he would have a son, a greater son, who would sit on the throne of Israel forever. That would be the Messiah. That's why when Jesus walked on this earth, sometimes they called him the Son of David, because he is that one. So realize that some promises of God, that there would be the Son of God coming, he would be the Savior, he would be the King. It's powerful. Sometimes we read the Bible and we don't think about how everything fits. And you know what's so incredible? If you study the Bible long enough. Now, sometimes things happen. Sometimes when people study the Bible and they go to seminaries and they study the original languages, and sometimes they're taught by teachers who don't believe the Bible. And so the more they study it, the less they believe it. But the truth is, the more you study it and you believe it, the more you see how it fits together perfectly. From Genesis 3:15 to Genesis chapter 12, all the way to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and to Joseph and to David, all the way down, fits perfectly. God has promises. Well, we've seen the promises. Let's talk about the prophecies. And I want you to go to a couple of places, if you don't mind. I want you to turn, first of all, to Isaiah chapter 7. So if you're in John, just kind of turn back toward the middle of the Old Testament, and then you'll find the Proverbs and Psalms, and Psalms and Proverbs, and then a little after that is Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7. It's a famous verse. It's about a virgin bearing a child. Now, this is a prophecy. It's a promise as well. You can put the promises and the prophecies together. But here's a prophecy, something that God says is going to happen. And he says a long time before. There's some times that God would talk to the nation of Israel. He'd say, now, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this, and I'm telling you that I'm going to do this beforehand so that when it comes to pass, you realize I'm the one who did it. That's what God says. And so here's a prophecy that what's going to happen. Isaiah chapter 7, look at verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Now, this is a sign. A sign so that we would not miss it, so that people would not miss it. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Now, the virgin's going to be with a child, and she's going to have a baby. She's going to have a boy. She's going to have a son. She'll be with child, bear a son, and they're going to call his name Emmanuel. Now we think, I thought his name was Jesus. Well, Emmanuel is not necessarily a name like a personal name, it's a title. And the name Emmanuel means God with us. And so by naming him Emmanuel, that idea was that this boy, this little boy, the virgin will be with a child and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel, that she's going to have a child who's God. He would be the Son of God. He would be born of a virgin. It's pretty powerful. But there's more. In Isaiah, just turn a couple of pages on toward the back of your Bible to Isaiah chapter 9 and look at verses 6 and 7. And there's some prophecies here. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, very famous, sometimes overlooked, but notice what it says. For a child will be born to us and a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There'll be no end to the increase of his government or of peace, because he's going to be a ruler that will never end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Now this verse has these two verses have so much in it. He says, a child will be born and a son will be given. See, the child born as the human being, the son given as the Son of God. The eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ. What's his name? Well, his name's Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to his government. Wow. I think he will be, as I think the next slide might say it, he'll be the Son of God, a king born of a virgin. He'll have a government that'll have no end. That's the promise to David. But there's one more prophecy I want you to look at. And of course, you'll have to find this one a little bit. Start going toward the back of your Bible. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, and you're going to find Micah. Micah chapter 5. If you get to Obadiah, you're almost there. If you get to Jonah, it's right after Jonah. There's one more prophecy to look at. Now we've seen that this virgin is going to have a child. The child will be God. He'll be the Son of God. He'll be a Savior, and he'll be the King. That's what we've seen so far. That's a lot. But there's one more. It's Micah chapter 5. It says verse 2. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you one will go forth for me to be the ruler in Israel. Now here's the king. He's coming out of Bethlehem. He's coming from Bethlehem. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. That means that he's always existed. There's going to be one coming from Bethlehem who has always existed. So what about these promises and these prophecies? What have we got? Well, we've got the eternal Son of God will be born of a virgin in Bethlehem, coming as Savior and King. Now think about that. He's the eternal Son of God because he's always existed. That's why God so loved the world that he gave his Son. He's the eternal Son of God, going to be born of a virgin. That's going to be the sign, Isaiah 7:14. Behold, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall be with child. This is all going to take place in Bethlehem. That's the promise in Micah 5 verse 2. And this Son of God who is born of the virgin will come as the Savior and the King. He will take the throne of his father David and he will be the Savior of the world. Going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. The one who's going to crush the head of the serpent. The one who is the Savior. So God says, I don't want you to miss it. I've got some promises. I've got some prophecies. I'm sending the eternal Son of God to be born of a virgin so you can know who he is. It's going to take place in the city of David, which is Bethlehem. He will come as the Savior and the King. That's the background. That's the promises and the prophecies. Well, let's see the announcements, because the announcements are going to be to two people. That's very famous, of course, the two people. One, of course, is Mary, and the other is Joseph. I want you to see that. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. So some famous passages here. And this is my favorite part of Christmas, is the Christmas story, the passages where the angel comes to Mary and the angel comes to Joseph and the angel comes to the shepherds. And it's just the greatest part. I've told y'all many times that I did not go to church. I went to church once when I was 6 and once when I was 12. And then I trusted Christ when I was 19. But the only Bible stories that I ever knew was this right here, because we did them in school. Our teacher got everybody together. I was usually a shepherd or sheep. And she would read the story. My teacher in the second grade read the story. I can still remember it. I can remember the third grade, my teacher reading the story. We had the Christmas story. Yeah, I was never married, never Joseph. Never got to be Joseph. Never got to be one of the wise men who really weren't there. But anyway, so what a story. Let's look at this. Luke chapter 1, look at verse 26. Mary. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Well, sixth month of what? Because oftentimes we just start reading verse 26 and we just say now in the sixth month. 6 months of the year? No. The sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. There was Elizabeth who was the wife of Zacharias, who was going to be the mother of John the Baptist. She's 6 months pregnant. The prophecy had already come to them that they were going to have a son who was going to be the forerunner, the one who would go before the Savior. So in the 6 months of her pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Wow, we say, okay, sounds okay to us. What happened? To a virgin. Engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Now, everything's beginning to fit. Here is God sends an angel Gabriel to Galilee in the city of Nazareth to a virgin. Has to be a virgin. Remember Isaiah 7:14. She was engaged to a man named Joseph, who was the descendant of David. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verses 12 through 17. Has to be a descendant of David to be the king. And the virgin's name was Mary. It's powerful. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." The Lord is with you. When you do all kind of research and background, and you think about, how old was this girl? 22? 25? 18? Living that day and time. Most likely she was between 14 and 16 years old. And she's going to be getting a message from God. How would you, how would us at our age handle a message from God? Let's just picture she's 15. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she's very perplexed at this statement. She kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. I mean, she's afraid because it's an angel. Angel's a powerful being. She doesn't have any idea why this angel's coming in. Angel says, "The Lord is with you," and favored one. She's called a favored one. But look what the angel says to her, verse 30. Angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." You know, sometimes we say, yeah, well, out of all the people in the world, she found favor with God, and she did. Let me ask you a question. Have you found favor with God? God so loved the whole world. You found favor with God. An angel would come right now and say to every one of us, "Hey, JB, you have found favor with God." Why? Because he loved you so much, he sent his son. That whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. He said, "Don't be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God." Well, she's a virgin, and her name's Mary, and she's living in Nazareth, and she's engaged to a man named David, who's Joseph, who's a descendant of David. And this angel says, "You found favor with God, and behold," verse 31, "you will conceive in your womb, and you're going to bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." That's special. Because the name Jesus literally means Savior. It comes from the same name as Yeshua, Joshua. He said, "You're going to name him Jesus. You're going to name your little boy Savior." But there's more. He's going to be great. And be called the Son of the Most High. Now that goes back to the prophecies. See, Isaiah 9:6, he'll be the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the wonderful Counselor, the everlasting Father. He's going to be God. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. 2 Samuel chapter 7, that's the promise to David. He'd have a son that would sit on the throne. There it is. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. That proves it. Not just for a time, not just as a normal king, but forever. And his kingdom will have no end. Now that fits all of those prophecies. Well, just about all of the prophecies. Not all of them, but just about all of them. Here's the virgin, engaged to a man who is a descendant of David. And she's going to have a son who is the Son of God, who is going to be the king. Wow. He's going to take the throne of his father David. Of his kingdom there will be no end. What does she say? "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" She said, I'm not saying anything bad about this. I just don't know how it's going to work. And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." So what do we got? Mary the Virgin bringing the Son of God, the King, the descendant of David, into the world. So far, everything fits. Not exactly, but it fits. Well, let's see the announcement to Joseph, because he's next. And we go into Matthew. So turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. And we'll see what happened with Joseph. As you turn there, I did a Christmas story one Christmas on Joseph. And you could call him the silent Joseph, because you know he never says a word in the scripture. And every time God gives him a message, he gives it to him in a dream. So sometimes look at the scripture and see what Joseph actually says. He never says anything. And see how God gives him the revelation. Matthew chapter 1, look at verse 18. This is Joseph. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. Matthew says, I want to make sure you got it. His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. That's what Luke told us was going to happen. That's exactly what we see. Joseph, her husband, he was a righteous man. He was a good man. And not wanting to disgrace her, because he loved her, he planned to send her away privately. Because, see, she's pregnant, and that's not his baby, and that they're not married, and, well, they're engaged and all betrothed and everything, but they've not come together, and so it's really a scandal. It's really about as bad as you could get, and according to the law, he could put her to death, but he loves her, and he didn't want to disgrace her even. He decided to do this privately. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She's not been with anyone. It's the Holy Spirit who has brought forth this child. And look at this information. She shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. That's what the other angel, that's what the angel told Mary. He will save his people from their sins. Because see, what does the name Jesus mean? It means Savior. Now, all this took place. I just wanted to read this to you. This is what Matthew writes. He said, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Matthew just said, by the way, this fulfills Isaiah 7:14. Joseph awoke from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took Mary as his wife, kept her as a virgin until she gave birth to the son, and called his name Jesus. Everything looks fine, doesn't it? Virgin Mary giving birth to the Son of God, named Jesus, who will be Savior and King. Everything fits. Not quite. Doesn't fit. In fact, if it stopped right here and the baby was born, it wouldn't fit. We go, what do you mean it wouldn't fit? It wouldn't fit. Because where are they living? In Nazareth. But the promise in Micah 5:2 is the baby has to be born in Bethlehem. They're in Nazareth. That's a long way. I mean, Nazareth is the northern part of Israel, near the Sea of Galilee, not very far from the Sea of Galilee. And Bethlehem is all the way to the southern, 250 to 300 miles south. And here's big Jerusalem, the capital. And then out, about 8 miles out, is a little bitty town called Bethlehem. Bethlehem Ephratah. There were two Bethlehems. There was a Bethlehem in the northern part of Israel and a Bethlehem Ephratah in the southern part of Israel. That's why Micah 5:2 is very specific and doesn't just say born in Bethlehem. It says Bethlehem Ephratah. Because there's a southern one. Well, let's see the birth. Go to Luke chapter 2. This is the famous passage. This is what I always remember my teacher reading. Luke chapter 2, we're going to see the birth. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. Now, here was the Roman ruler, Caesar Augustus, and he wants a census. He wants everybody counted. He even tells us, Luke says, this was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his home city. Now, what they did is he wanted to get everybody to their home cities so he could register them, count them, so he could get more taxes. He didn't want to miss anybody. He says, you know, I bet you there's people out there. I don't have their records. I'm not getting taxes from them, so I want to get everybody counted so I can get the taxes. Notice what it says. Everyone who was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Now, Joseph and Mary are living right now in Nazareth in the northern part of Israel, but they're going to have to travel. Verse 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, that's in the south, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Bethlehem, by the way, is Bach Lahem, Bach house, Lahem, bread, the house of bread. And so they're going to Bethlehem. Why? Because he was of the house and the family of David in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. You notice they're still engaged here. They've never had the ceremony yet. We don't know when they have that ceremony. Because see, it doesn't say who was married to him. It says who was engaged to him and was with child. Born of the Virgin in Bethlehem. God always fulfills his promises, doesn't he? Look what happens, verse 6. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Why wasn't there any room? Why couldn't they get there and find somebody, some family, some place to take care of them? Well, the truth is they probably traveled so much slower than everybody else because she was about to have a baby and they had to make a long trip. And it wasn't like it is today. It was a very hard time to go all that way and to get there. And by the time they got there, all the people that they knew as relatives and family, every room was filled. Everything was filled up. All people had come from all over to be counted. And even the inns, which you really wouldn't want to stay in an inn, but if you just were desperate, you'd have to. There wasn't even any room in the inn. And so she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths. That's what they did. She laid him in a manger. There was no room for them in the inn. The manger is a feed trough. Out where animals were, most likely maybe in the side of a cave or maybe some kind of shelter for animals, that's where they had the baby. That's where she had the baby. She wrapped him in cloths and she set him in a feed trough. The place that they normally put the food for the animals, they put the baby there. Born of a virgin, a descendant of David, the Son of God in Bethlehem. At exactly the right time. There's something special that happens that night. We always mention it, you know, we have this great little scene here. And if you notice, this is the birth of Christ. And there's Mary and Joseph and the baby. And then way over here are the wise men. See, and a lot of people say, well, the wise men, they were there. No, they weren't there. Maybe 2 years. It's going to take them a couple of years to get down the steps, get up over the side, and get up there. But they're coming. It'll be a while before they make it. That night, the shepherds came. Verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. I've had some people say, well, this could not be in December. Could not be in December because it's too cold in December. Shepherds would not be outside keeping watch over their flock by night, so the birth of Jesus wasn't in December. Well, I've had two studies. You go back to the time of David and when he listed the order of the priest and when they served, and you follow it all the way down, and you follow when Zechariah served, and when he and his wife Elizabeth had their baby, and then you count 6 months on up from that, it goes most likely into the winter months, most likely December. And second, in 1976, I was in Israel. I was in Bethlehem. I was out in the fields on Christmas Eve, December 24th. We had our own shepherd, and I had on a sweater. And there are a lot of times, in fact, I was talking to the shepherd, and I said, is it normally warmer like this? And he went, it's always like this. When people tell you Jesus wasn't born in Bethlehem, wasn't born in around Christmas, what we call Christmas time, December and all that. Yeah, he could. He was. They were keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened. Can you imagine the power of that angel coming in, and these men out there in the pitch black except for the stars went, and suddenly this angel comes, and the angel said to them, don't be afraid. Why? Don't be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Look what this verse says. Good news, great joy, all people. I love this. It is good news. We call it the gospel, which brings great joy. And see, the good news message of the Messiah and the Savior brings joy to all who hear it, all who understand it. When you first got that idea that you're saying to me that Jesus died in my place and he paid for my sins and I can have eternal life, I can go to heaven and be with God forever and be with Jesus just by trusting in him, did that bring great joy to you? Was that good news? Of course it was. Good news, great joy to all people, not just to the shepherds, not just to Joseph and Mary, not just to Jewish people, but to every human being. The angel said, I've got good news of great joy to all people, for today, verse 11, today in the city of David, that's Bethlehem, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. There's been born, coming into the world, a Savior. That's one who's going to deal with the sin, who's going to save us. Because see, what we all need is a Savior. Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And we're all going to be separated from God forever. We need to be saved from being separated from God forever. And God sent into the world a Savior. He says, born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christ means the anointed one of God. And the Lord means that He is God. Wow. The Messiah, the Son of God, born that day. But look what happened. That wasn't the end. He goes on to say, because you could imagine that if we were there that night, we would be saying, okay, where is he? How are we going to find him? Because right now, if we tried to get into the city of David, we got to try to get into little Bethlehem. It's just full of people. I mean, there's so many people. We will never find that baby. This will be a sign for you. This is how you're going to find the baby. This will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. That's the sign. That's how you're going to find it. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. A bunch of other angels came praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. You know what angels do? They give glory to God. They praise God. When Isaiah saw him on his throne, there were those angels going, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, glory to God. It's glory to God. That's what angels do. The promises and the prophecies have been fulfilled exactly. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of the Virgin Mary. He is the Savior. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of David. He is the King. He is everything. That takes us to the last part, the purpose. Why? Why was he born? Well, he was born of the Virgin in Bethlehem as the Savior and King to be our Savior. Because I mentioned a while ago, we've all sinned and come short of God's glory. 30 years after this, when Jesus was about 30, he began a ministry that lasted between 3 and 3.5 years. We're studying it on Sunday morning as we're looking through the Gospel of Luke, and we're almost to the last week or two of Jesus' life. But this baby born in Bethlehem some 30-something years later went to the cross to die for me and to die for you, to be our Savior, to be the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. 1 Peter 3:18 says that he died for our sins, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. Galatians 4:4-5, in the fullness of time, at exactly the right time, God sent forth the Son, born in the world, born of a woman, born under law, that he might redeem us, pay for our sins. At exactly the right time. It takes us back to the verse that we started with, John 3:16. God loved you and me. He loved every person so much that he would send his son Jesus to come into this world to be born. That we call it Bethlehem. We call it the birth of Christ. We call it where God, the incarnation, where he sends his son into the world to become a human being. Born of the Virgin, fitting all of the prophecies and all of the promises. Why? So he could die for our sins and rise again and be the Savior. And all who would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me give you applications. Proclaim the great message of Christmas. Let's do it. The Savior has come into the world. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, born in Bethlehem, born of the Virgin. Make sure we're clear. A, God fulfills his promises. That's exactly what he said. The Old Testament prophet said he would come. He would come in Bethlehem. He'd be born of the Virgin. He would be the Son of David. He would be all of that. God keeps his word. B, Jesus was born in Bethlehem as the Savior. He fit it all. He fit it all. He indeed is the Savior and the King, the greater Son of David. You know, two comings of Christ. I think we got him. The first coming, he came to die. The second coming, he comes as the King. First time he came as the Son of David, he came to die on the cross to pay for our sins, to be the Savior. When he comes the second time, he comes to this earth as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. If you have never understood the truth of Christmas, I pray this morning, right where you're sitting, that you will believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, born of the Virgin, born in Bethlehem, came to die on the cross to pay for your sins and my sins. And by faith in him, you have eternal life. He gives you salvation, eternal life, simply as a gift by faith. It takes us to see. Let's tell others the truth concerning Christmas. Let's go tell people. Because at this Christmas, there are going to be family people. You're going to all be around Christmas tree and presents and everything. And maybe pray about the opportunity that you might have that when you're around that tree and there's Christmas presents and people are, that you can say, could I tell you about the greatest gift ever given? and tell them about Jesus and what Christmas is all about. I know it's scary, especially in some families where maybe some people don't believe or they think you're a fanatic and all that. But just ask God for boldness and for the exact right opportunity, and then tell them about the real meaning of Christmas. The Savior has come into the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great passage. Thank you for these truths. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come together on this great morning. Thank you for those who, Lord, who took a chance, who came in the slippery and the ice and still made it and came together with fellow believers to worship our Savior. Lord, may we proclaim the message because you fulfill your promises. Jesus was born in Bethlehem as the Savior and the King. And may we tell others. Thank you, Lord, for these great truths. We ask all of this in Jesus' name.